This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So I would like for you to feel just one scorch mark from what is the Stugatz experience. I'm going to explain to you how our studio setup is for those of you who do not see us on ESPN Plus or have never seen the simulcast of this show. Mike Ryan and the shipping container filled with frightened refugees under normal circumstances are on one side of the glass, and me and Stugatz are on another side. And unless we press a button, we're in sort of a sealed type of room where we can't talk to the shipping container without pressing a button. So I'm going to assume, because the door was closed, that Stugatz is talking to me when he says the following. Because he's not pressing any buttons or talking to anybody else.
No.
But I want to set for you as context the fact that we have already done a local hour, and we have already done a Big Suey digital-only hour. And during those 2 hours, we spent a lot of time talking about the general concern about the pandemic and how sports are just totally upside down, and there's just a whole lot of naked greed going on in college basketball at the Mohegan Sun, and college football is totally dismantled, and Ohio State might play 4 games this season, and the Saints are being penalized for partying without their masks on. They're losing a draft pick. All of it is human beings making up the rules as they go along to get a little closer to the greed. And during that, Stugatz has expressed some consternation and said some of the things that he should be saying as a responsible human being who cares about others. But right before the microphones went on today, Stugatz, ostensibly speaking to me because there's no one else in here, says the following. Yo, man, they better play this game. I've got Boswell. So Stugatz's concern about the pandemic and human beings extends only as far as the kicker on his fantasy team.
Listen, I realize that right before the show that I trail by 7 points. The only player remaining left on either side is the Steelers kicker, Boswell, the Boz. I need this game to be played tomorrow. Otherwise, it's a loss for me in my fantasy league. And it's playoff time, Dan.
Well, Mike, help me understand something here, because Chris Jericho right now is 2-2. Colin Cowherd right now is 2-2. Chris Jericho, our celebrity picker, AEW Le Champion, has a world record around here. What are you shaking your head about, Billy? Of 10 straight weeks of success. And all he needs to do is break even with Colin Cowherd or do better than him, and he has done so. Now, a record amount of weeks in a row, almost the entire season. We haven't needed another celebrity picker. Did we even have another? Who was the other? I don't even remember.
Steve-O.
Okay, it was so long
fake
ago.
Fake Steve-O as well.
Yeah.
Damn, Anthony Lynn and the Chargers really messed this up for us, because if they would have just scored that touchdown, Jericho would have had an extra win, Colin would have had an extra loss, and we'd be sitting pretty headed into week 11 with Jericho. But nope. Now we need to wait until Tuesday to see what happens.
Okay, a couple of things there. One, if you want to beat the Buffalo Bills, I am simply telling you they are susceptible to the Hail Mary. So I don't know if you guys want to try this out or not, but they seem to allow passes when everyone knows, no other time, but when everyone knows what's coming and you could throw it 50 yards downfield against their defensive backs, that wins.
However, they seem to be all over quarterback sneaks when the offensive line is dropping in pass protection for some reason.
That is correct.
Right. That is how that game ended. It was one of the many ways I was on the wrong side of fourth and short yesterday. Now, I want to get into this for a second, because if you haven't been with us during the local hour and the digital only hour, we looked through Chris Cody's dark past at a cigar and cigarette filled and stained little poker room where he got off his degeneracy at 19 years old. It was disgusting. It was sad. A palpable sadness swept over the room when he was talking about it. But I don't believe it's as sad as the text that I sent Mike Ryan this weekend, which was, put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me.
How could it be sadder?
I believe that that's the saddest sentence ever spoken. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me, the saddest sentence ever spoken.
Of all the things you could have called him to put $100 on, that's the thing?
I didn't have access to that particular alley where you could bet such things. I don't know where I would have to go, what dirty alley, how many needles I have to walk over, how many Walgreens or CVS's I have to stand behind while meeting my man in order to get odds on Nate Robinson plus 170, which is what I had for $100 that I just handed to Mike Ryan, because when I woke in the morning, because I will not pay for that fight, even though evidently I did pay for that fight, twice as much as most of you paid for that fight. I woke up to just meme after meme of Nate Robinson on his face and the internet making fun of Nate Robinson.
You have to dig deep to find a line on that, I understand. And you went to your go-to guy, Mike Ryan, which I also understand. Mike,
I went to my dealer. I went to the dirtiest of dealers.
Mike, were you laughing upon receiving that text? Did you take the bet yourself? Or did you also take the same bets?
I was laughing because I had also put a hundy on it prior to his text. Thanks for covering my losses, Dan. It would have been more fun if we just lit it on fire.
Well, what happened? Explain this to me. I heard Snoop Dogg was great. I did not see
the
any
best.
Of this.
What
I...
happened was Jake Paul.
The best.
Who might be the next great white hype.
So Jake Paul. So Nate Robinson comes in and he's all shredded. And he's a little man for basketball standards, but those guys tend to be pretty tough. But he didn't have much in the way of boxing skill, the guy that we bet plus 170, because I feel like he was plus 170 based only on how he looked with his shirt off.
I think Bomani set the line because he's always been touting how tough Nate Robinson is, because you got to be tough to be that height and to make it to the height of professional sports. However, not as tough, apparently, as you have to be to make it to being a YouTube sensation.
You guys thought you were getting good value, huh?
Well, I just thought I could surprise people because of the lack of knowledge around the fight, because I was so informed, you know, having spent a lot of time breaking down film with Teddy Atlas of Nate Robinson sparring before I fired off a scared and pathetic, put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me. And so it begins, ladies and gentlemen, my slide into the journalistic breach that has been permitted by society now being good with gambling. I throw all objectivity and journalism credentials to the side on the hill to die on, I think we can all agree, which is put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me.
Dan, I think the move here for you is for you to call out Jake Paul now and say that you would take him in a boxing match.
Yeah,
he would kill you.
Mike just got scared.
No, don't do this.
I mean, he wouldn't take Nate. So, I mean.
So how did that start? How did Nate Robinson? I might be willing. Well, I wouldn't even be willing to fight Nate Robinson.
Oh, do it. Come on, Dan.
Okay, go for Nate. Go for Nate. He needs a second chance. I mean.
So explain to me how this works with Jake Paul. How did this fight start? Why do they dislike each other? Was there some sort of beef there?
I don't think they dislike each other. I'm sure they said stuff in the lead up to it.
But how did it come to be that these two random people were the ones fighting?
Well, Jake Paul does numbers on pay-per-view. I think this is, his third professional fight? And people actually get drawn because he's polarizing. And if you read his comments out in public, he's a bit of an idiot, but... He people tune in to watch him get beat up or beat somebody up. He's usually against another YouTube sensation. This time he's against Nate Robinson, who's a former slam dunk champion and New York Knicks. So people know who he is, and this was the undercard to the Tyson Jones thing.
He wore the Knicks colors of orange and blue, yet another loss for the Knicks. The Knicks on the canvas after that fight.
It's one of those things where Jake Paul essentially like months ago just started calling out as many celebrities as he could, and Nate Robinson responded to him. Well, and so that's kind of how it came.
I have heard some people say that they would like to see from sports him fight James Johnson. James Johnson has been on the show.
Well, James Johnson would beat him, right? He's a professional fighter.
Evidently, Jake Paul can box. Like, I don't think that you would want those problems in an octagon with James Johnson, but I don't know how James Johnson is as a boxer.
Dan, he's like an 8-time black belt. He would throw Jake Paul through I don't even know how many sorts of doors and walls and windows.
I mean, there's no upside for him to do it. He only wins by winning, and he has to win and win quickly. There's no reason for James Johnson to do that. Nate Robinson probably had some money, I'm guessing.
Okay, there it is. Stu Gatz has just said that Nate Robinson has money problems. Now, it's a reasonable guess, but it's also a terrible stereotype that he has no information on whatsoever. He's just assuming that you don't do that unless you're Nate Robinson with money problems, but Jake Paul, he's allowed to not have money problems here. Why is that?
I said it was a guess.
I think I saw that the purse for Jake Paul and Nate Robinson was in the neighborhood of $600K.
I told you that it was reported. Mike Tyson, $10 million for that fight. Roy Jones Jr. in a draw, $3 million. And I guess the big star of the night was Snoop Dogg just saying, like, this is watching your uncle's fight at the barbecue.
Don Libertard.
We just got to change the language up, because challenge just sounds contentious. Let's call it a politely disagree.
Ooh, how about this? An oopsie.
There you go.
All right, put it on the poll. At Libertard Show, should a challenge be called an oopsie to placate the referee's ego?
An oopsie flag.
Stugatz.
Or the red flag, the challenge flag, should not be called a challenge flag, or the flag should say on it, love your butt.
Red is also an aggressive color.
Very, very aggressive.
Maybe pink.
We should actually, we should have them throw daisies and call them whoopsie daisies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good idea.
Whoopsie daisies.
Yes. This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Libertard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
All right, so Stugatz's weekend observations are coming up in about 15 minutes, and our boxing expert, Rosie Perez, is going to be on in the 11 o'clock hour to break down Tyson Jones. I do like that's where we started so today great. Instead of the NFL. Did I just hear, Mike, that Greeny has a new segment somewhere? What in the actual heck? Is that something that is so? Because it got me to thinking. We've got a couple of people at ESPN who are really talking in a way that is becoming more and more offensive, because Brian Greasy, of the respected football Greasy family name, has said of Jim Harbaugh at the school that they both love, Stugatz, Brian Greasy is on the record as saying, enough is enough. He has said that enough is enough. He put up Jim Harbaugh's record against Ohio State, against some teams in the conference. Jim Harbaugh loses to Penn State last weekend. And Brian Greasy has escalated the rhetoric to a dangerous place in America. The Greasies do not say things like this very often, but enough has been called enough.
I really doubt that Greeny has a segment called that. He would never use that kind of language.
You don't think so?
No. That's,
I found it very disappointing.
Too far.
When I heard, I'm like, this guy, another hot take guy out here to push the boundaries, be a shock jock, just really, you know, it's unnecessary. That language, America's kids don't need to hear Mike Greenberg, bastion for all pure things in this business, say what in the actual heck. Will he be fined for that?
Probably. In fact, I'm a little uncomfortable with how much you're saying it.
So. Exactly. I'm with Mike. I am doubting Mike Greenberg would ever go to that place, ever.
So I'm getting erroneous reports on this, because this has been flammable language that has sort of taken over the sports media conversation today, that Mike Greenberg, what was he saying in the actual heck about?
You got to stop using that word.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will pull back on that. What about Brian Greasy saying enough is enough is it at his alma mater?
I think we can all agree there.
It took him 70 games or so to get to enough is enough. I mean, I was there 2 years ago.
That kind of felt like that game had loser leaves town vibes. The James Franklin, Jim Harbaugh showdown.
Mike, I don't think he's ever going to leave town. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be able to stay at Michigan for as long as Jim Harbaugh wants to stay at Michigan. I don't know why.
Would you think that?
Because, Dan, that was supposed to work and work in a way that was going to win them multiple national championships, and he'd never leave there. And I just think
you think Jim Harbaugh's safe right now?
I do. I think he's safe. I think Jim Harbaugh, if he wants to stay at Michigan, I think Jim Harbaugh will have the ability to stay at Michigan.
Is that based on anything? Like, what are you basing that on?
I'm basing it on who's going to replace Jim Harbaugh, and he's a legendary figure at that school.
But That's it.
He's got no other options. It's weird because this was not the dynamic when the two parties got together, Harbaugh and Michigan, but now Harbaugh needs Michigan a hell of a lot more than they need him.
But is what Stugatz saying right, that Jim Harbaugh has some sort of immunity? Because I believe that this has got to be the most uncomfortable Jim Harbaugh right now, today, is as uncomfortable as Jim Harbaugh has been in any kind of coaching job in terms of being worried about his job security.
I mean, we are, what, six seasons in, five times against Ohio State. He hasn't beaten them. He still hasn't lost his job. He got off to the same start as the last head coach they had.
But it hasn't been that long. Like, it's Jim Harbaugh. The shine came off of that pretty fast. And I don't believe that Michigan will keep putting up with this for very much longer.
But I think the shine came off of it after the 8-5, 5-4 in the Big Ten, finished fourth. That was 2017. And yet here he is, three seasons later, still doing a terrible job at Michigan. Three seasons later.
Yeah, but he won't have the result against Ohio State this year, it looks like. Because now it's looking pretty grim that game is going to happen. And if there was a game that could really get him fired, probably wasn't the Penn State game, is probably getting embarrassed again by Ohio State, because that's what hiring Jim Harbaugh was all about. Closing the gulf between Ohio State and Michigan, finally winning that game, and they've gotten further apart.
I would like to step back from the talk of the day that you do after a college football weekend, and just sort of in this weird time where everyone's grabbing at the dollars in a way that feels unsanitary, even by the sewage standards of college sports, I do want to marvel at the fact that Scott Frost and James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh were rushing us back, and Ohio State is the only team that we knew was good in that conference, and now everything else has been shown at the top of that conference, or what we believe to be historically the top of that conference, to be fraudulent. And I just marvel at the fact that outside of money, everybody in that conference, including Ohio State, which might have its season ended after four games, everyone in that conference would have been better off by us not being able to see them play. Everybody. Like, Ohio State.
Well, Indiana, though.
Okay, Indiana. Fair enough. Indiana has
Northwestern.
Indiana has won the pandemic. Didn't Northwestern? What did Northwestern do? They just lost. Northwestern just lost. They do what they do. They beat Wisconsin as everybody's way, and then Northwestern does what it does. Loses the week after.
They lost. They're still ranked in the top 20. Their side of the Big Ten is so bad though that that one loss did not affect them. They'll still be in the Big Ten championship.
All right, congratulations. What in the actual heck, Northwestern grad Mike Greenberg, your Northwestern team is a titan in a conference that can't play football.
Don Lebatard.
Coughlin goes on to say that he would like to try and help Odell Beckham Jr. It's not your team anymore, Tom.
Stugatz.
All right, seriously. If you're Ben McAdoo, you do not want to hear that. Get your beak out of my business. That old red crusty beak. Like, who is Tom Coughlin to come in? I'd like to reach out to Odell Beckham Jr. You had your chance when you were the head coach of the Giants. Now you're not, okay? Move on, Tom. It's Ben's job now. You think Ben McAdoo wants Tom Coughlin's help? Honestly, do you think he does?
Well, I'm going to let the audience...
He took his job. You think he wants his help now?
Thank you for asking me a question and then just continuing to steamroll.
Sure.
You're always there for me that way.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today on ESPN Daily. Sunday's NFL games had plenty of action. Bill Barnwell breaks down the biggest plays and the league's path forward amid the most COVID chaos it's seen yet. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Stugatz's weekend observations here are going to be in minutes, but we have first place fan with us here. Yeah. She must be so happy, even though her team stinks at defending the Hail Mary. The Buffalo Bills sit atop the AFC East. So here with her triumphant kazoos, Christine Lisi.
And finally, Napoleon was buried without his package. Speaking of short people with no privates, Stu, back to you.
Wow.
I did not see that one.
Wow, that was Napoleon. Efficient. That was efficient. An efficient assassination.
You keep laughing.
Surgical assassination by Christine Lisi. Time now for Stugatz's weekend observations.
That was great.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes.
How'd you know?
No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, 34 of 45, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. A quarterback rating of 115.7 combined with a massive 28-27 win over the Panthers.
Oh, no.
And Dan.
No.
Just like that.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
He's back.
You are on it.
Are the Raiders for real?
No. Will Fuller V, more like Will Fuller I. Instead of replacing the kicker, Sarah Fuller should have replaced the Vanderbilt quarterback. Matthew Stafford has to be exhausted from being a Lion. The Vanderbilt offense made the Missouri defense look like the 85 Bears. I don't know what a collapsed ankle is, but it sounds awful. Hey, what happened? My ankle collapsed. It's terrible.
I've not heard the phrase collapsed ankle before. That's worse than a broken ankle, correct?
Yes.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Is a collapsed ankle worse than a broken ankle?
It's worse than a collapsed lung, I think. Speaking of things that sound awful, the Illinois men's basketball team has a player with the last name Cockburn. Brian Kelly, with a 15-game win streak, is the worst kind of Brian Kelly. It is. Arrogant Brian Kelly to the max.
It is the worst kind. You're so right.
It's like the third worst thing to come out of this pandemic is Brian Kelly.
I think it's worse than the pandemic. I think Notre Dame and Brian Kelly being on a winning streak is, put it on the poll, Guillermo, is Brian Kelly being on a winning streak worse than the pandemic?
Alabama is better without Nick Saban. Floyd Mayweather, Jake Paul, collision course. There's been a Martinez playing quarterback
so true.
For Nebraska
so true.
For the last decade. That's, how?
What in the actual heck?
Damn, want to feel old? Over the weekend, I watched Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ron Harper Jr.
Oh my God.
Play a college basketball game.
Oh, God.
It hurts, I know. Yeah. Tua might be no gooda. Kyle Pitts is the best player.
He didn't play.
I know, but the thumb, I'm not buying it. Fitzpatrick, I think they're losing faith in Tua. A dangerous game he's playing, Brian Flores. Kyle Pitts is the best player in college football, and yet he may not be the best Kyle on his own team. How about that?
That offense.
Crazy.
That offense is it's a professional offense. They weren't even that good this weekend. It's a pro offense.
Two Kyles. Chelsea. Tottenham, pitcher's duel. Congratulations to the Indiana Hoosiers for avoiding the letdown game. Congratulations also to Jim Harbaugh. His loss at home to a winless Penn State team in the overrated coaches bowl made him more overrated than James Franklin. Sarah Fuller story, awesome. Vanderbilt football, not. Vanderbilt offense, you are the absolute worst.
How could you do
the
that?
The worst.
Vanderbilt, how could you do that? You've got the historic moment. You've got a woman kicking for you, and all she gets to do is the squib kick because you don't score. No extra points, no field goals. You can't do anything.
Vandy. Lions. Rinse. Repeat. Another week. Another loss. Another berating of an official. The Scott Frost experience. Headline, all three Broncos quarterbacks can't play against the Saints. I was so wishing that the headline ended on the word play. Dustin Johnson withdrew from the Mayakoba Open. He still hasn't put his clothes on since winning the Masters. Bad news, Broncos have no available quarterbacks. Good news, they had no available quarterbacks before they announced they had no available quarterbacks. Nate Robinson wearing Nick colors while being knocked out by a YouTube star. I hate them. More Snoop calling sports, please. Thank you. Dan, you know what the C in Cole Beasley stands for?
No.
Chooch. Colts. Oh, wow. He's got a chooch.
He's got a chooch.
He really does.
He threw a touchdown.
He's a nice little player, I got to tell you.
That is true. I don't think emphasis on the little.
Yeah.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. What is nice little Cole Beasley more of? Nice or little?
Colts. Jekyll and Hyde. Colt McCoy is a giant. In retrospect, maybe the Pat Fitzgerald post-Wisconsin victory media tour was a bit much. Of course, Don Beebe has a son.
He was on stupidity.
That was before the game. Victory tour, he was everywhere. Just me before. Stick with me, coach. Of course, Don Beebe has a son. Of course, he plays for Minnesota. Of course, he had 7 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. And of course, his name is Chad. The only surprise is that he's not a Patriot.
Yeah.
The Titans did what the Titans do. I don't know what that means, but it just felt like the Titans did what the Titans do.
Felt like they did more of what it is they do than they usually do.
Just felt like they did what they do.
But it felt like they did more than they do.
Okay. It's your observation, I am on. The Dolphins are better without Tua. Who knew? Jurgen Klopp. More like Jurgen Flop. Zeke. The exposed midriff. Ain't popping the mitt the way it used to. My suggestion, pull down the jersey and pick up a salad.
Oh,
geez. What happened there? I mean,
love telling people to have a salad.
Popping the mitt. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, you did say popping the mitt.
Yep. The Panthers.
Was the key to that joke.
Are better with P.J. Walker.
Oh, come on.
What an odd team, the Falcons. This Kendall Hilton.
You know that? Okay.
What happened?
Teddy Bridgewater was, okay, never mind.
Yeah, but they lost.
Okay.
Yeah. P.J. Walker, they won.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a make or miss league, Dana.
Yep.
Falcons.
That is not the make or miss league. It's the other one. The other
it's
one.
It's a
is
make
the,
or miss league.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is football a make or miss league?
Well, you either make the most of your opportunity, like P.J. Walker did, or you don't.
Basketball is a make or miss.
Make or miss, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah. Falcons, odd team, right? So with the Super Bowl, looks like some week. Anyway, this Kendall Hilton would fit in nicely with the Jets. Unfortunately, he'd probably be their best wide receiver. I hate them. Trust me when I tell you, this Taysom Hill is becoming a real problem inside the Saints locker room. Patrick Mahomes is almost as important to the Chiefs as Callum Wilson is to Newcastle.
Callum.
Whatever. The tune. Vanderbilt dismissed Derek Mason as coach. The news here is that Vanderbilt once hired Derek Mason to be their coach. Drew Brees, I know every one of your ribs is fractured and one of your lungs collapsed, but I'd hurry back. At one point over the weekend, Dan, the 5 ESPN headlines read like this on ESPN.com. Ravens, COVID, cases mount, game moved to Tuesday, Steelers running back, Connors and coach test positive. Ryan Day, positive for COVID. COVID-19 strikes again, this time in Denver. NBA outlines COVID protocols with a 134-page document. Heck we doing. Speaking of heck, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
What in the actual heck are we doing? Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Just yes or no. What in the actual heck are we doing? Yes or no. And also, worst kind of jackassery, Brian Kelly on a 15-game winning streak or Dan Mullen with that offense?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing in life is free. Time Mullen. For some ads.
Lebatard.
Alan, you got something big and hairy for me?
Stugatz.
Everything you just said about me is true. I'm a fraud.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Our friend Bill Lawrence at VDoozer says that just in case the show wants to call him, that he is, quote, just waiting by the phone in case. That's how my mornings start now.
Do we have anything else that we need to ask him? Because I'm here for creating a web of Hollywood comedy and writing types who want to just hang around the show. We have to check in again with Richard Lewis here at some point, don't we, Billy? How does Billy in general feel? We've got a very uneasy, tense relationship with Richard Lewis.
Man, what is it going to break down? There are no big games happening at this shoe.
Right.
We have Rosie Perez, 11:30 Eastern. She's our boxing expert. And I want to tell you something here, Stugatz. Nike is among the U.S. brands pushing to weaken a Uyghur anti-slavery bill in China. And you have heard around here, Daryl Morey most famously created quite the stir when he found himself in a position that he was just sending out an innocuous tweet. I don't know how much he actually cares about Chinese human rights, but what you have happening in China with the Uyghurs is sort of anti-religion slavery for a whole lot of people. And now you've got Nike, it's reported, among the people or the big giant corporate entities working to undermine a bill that would punish China for using forced labor camps for manufacturing goods sold here. And good God almighty, if what we have here, and I need more details on this because I need fresh reporting on it. There has been some good reporting on this subject in America, but according to the New York Times, Nike, along with other manufacturing giants, all our power, Apple, Adidas, Tommy Hilfiger, others, they want to pull the teeth out of a Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. And this sounds like, and again, I need more details because I'm just seeing this for the first time, this sounds like our corporations basically being okay with, religious-based slavery as long as it serves their economy, which is what you're seeing now across sports, a greed that is unfathomable in terms of being made naked. I've told you the story, right? I have told you the story of, it's been a joke around here for a long time, my sentences that start with, when I was in China with Michael Jordan, but in a tiny room where I was getting the ESPN interview of Michael Jordan, whatever, 14 minutes we had as part of a sneaker tour in China meant to sell sneakers. It was on my third slave labor question about the sneaker shops that I got a high heel in my back from the publicist who was working on behalf of Nike to get me to go in a different direction. I need to read more about what the specifics are on this, how right it is, how accurate it is, because I'm literally just reading my first words on the subject during the break. So I don't know where the biases are, where the factual holes are, but that sounds pretty brutal.
I'm glad you brought it up right next to a hard network out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if you need more info, imagine what I need.
Okay, but with you as my teammate,
yeah.
Three times
you asked Jordan that question.
Have you uttered a helpful thought to help me, put some filler on this segment?
Hope!